Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So yesterday, during the course of the show and into the evening a little bit yesterday, one of the things that we were seeing on Twitter was Jon Stewart. Don't we miss Jon Stewart?
I truly do miss Jon Stewart.
Was testifying before Congress. And if you don't know much about what Jon Stewart has done since he left The Daily Show several years ago, one of the things that he is really passionate about is the way that we are handling the health of the first responders to the 9/11 terror attacks. And with that, he had some things to say to Congress yesterday about the lack of funding that we are putting into taking care of those people.
It's in two parts. We're going to play you the first part here. And it should be, he starts out with kind of a tongue-in-cheek joke that there aren't enough Congress members sitting in front of him. In defense of Congress, and Lord knows I have no reason to defend Congress, but in defense of Congress, this was a subcommittee hearing, and the members weren't scheduled to be there yet, though the room is set up with a bunch of chairs for the other members of Congress to come in later in the day.
It looks bad.
It looks bad. It's a tongue-in-cheek joke. I'm sure, I don't know if he knew that or not. I'm sure he did. He's a lot smarter than I am. But that is the only, you know, problem I have with anything he had to say. This is powerful stuff.
As I sit here today, I can't help but think what an incredible metaphor this room is for the entire process that getting health care and benefits for 9/11 first responders has come to. Behind me, a filled room of 9/11 first responders, and in front of me, a nearly empty Congress. Sick and dying, they brought themselves down here to speak to no one. Shameful. It's an embarrassment to the country, and it is a stain on this institution. And you should be ashamed of yourselves for those that aren't here, but you won't be. Because accountability doesn't appear to be something that occurs in this chamber. We don't want to be here. Lou doesn't want to be here. None of these people want to be here. But they are, and they're not here for themselves. They're here to continue fighting for what's right. Lou's going to go back for his 69th chemo. The great Ray Pfeiffer would come down here, his body riddled with cancer and pain, where he couldn't walk. And the disrespect shown to him and to the other lobbyists on this bill is utterly unacceptable. You know, I used to get, I would be so angry at the latest injustice that's done to these men and women. And, you know, another business card thrown our way as a way of shooing us away, like children trick-or-treating, rather than the heroes that they are and will always be. Ray would say, calm down, Johnny, calm down. I got all the cards I need. And he would tap his pocket, where he kept the prayer cards. 343 firefighters. The official FDNY response time to 9/11 was 5 seconds. 5 seconds. That's how long it took for FDNY, for NYPD, for Port Authority, for EMS to respond to an urgent need from the public. 5 seconds. Hundreds died in an instant. Thousands more poured in to continue to fight for their brothers and sisters. The breathing problem started almost immediately, and they were told they weren't sick, they were crazy. And then, as the illnesses got worse and things became more apparent, well, okay, you're sick, but it's not from the pile. And then when the science became irrefutable, okay, it's the pile. But this is a New York issue. I don't know if we have the money. And I'm sorry if I sound angry and undiplomatic, but I'm angry, and you should be too, and they're all angry as well, and they have every justification to be that way. There is not a person here, there is not an empty chair on that stage that didn't tweet out, never forget the heroes of 9/11. Never forget their bravery. Never forget what they did, what they gave to this country. Well, here they are. And where are they? And it would be one thing if their callous indifference and rank hypocrisy were benign, but it's not. Your indifference costs these men and women their most valuable commodity, time. It's the one thing they're running out of. This should be flipped. This hearing should be flipped. These men and women should be up on that stage, and Congress should be down here answering their questions as to why this is so damn hard and takes so damn long, and why no matter what they get, something's always pulled back and they got to come back.
This was Jon Stewart yesterday in D.C. as money is running out. They're not getting the funding that they need for the 9/11 responders back in 2001. It's been 18 years since, and so many people are sick, dying, as you heard in his very passionate remarks. There's a second half of this we want to play after the news.
Yeah, and so just as a point of information, a little bit about the history of funding the bills for people that responded to 9/11, and this has been a passion project, Jon Stewart's, for a very long time. In fact, I even remember very distinctly his show back on the air after 9/11.
There was one entire episode designated to this issue and this bill before he gave up the reins.
So there was a bill called the Zadraga Act, and it is named for a gentleman who came on The Daily Show. He's come on multiple times, and that was the first big piece of legislation that funded $4.3 billion for treatment services and medical benefits for emergency responders and survivors of 9/11. That passed. Right now, so by 2016, lawmakers voted to extend the coverage of that act for 75 years. I want you to remember that because of a question we're going to ask you later about how long we should be paying. It was a question that a listener asked, how long we should be paying for the healthcare of people that responded to 9/11. So that was extended in 2015, but only one piece of the law, which is the 9/11 Victim Compensation Fund, was fully funded through the end of 2020. And that's the problem now. According to an analysis last year, close to 10,000 first responders had been diagnosed with cancer, and over 2,000 deaths have been attributed to illnesses caused by the attacks. In fact, now they say more people have died from the toxic exposure on 9/11 than were killed in the actual attacks.
Say that line again.
More people now have died from what they were exposed to on 9/11 than the people that were killed in the actual attacks.
And they're running out of money, and Congress isn't acting.
And they're not doing anything to fund whatever these people need treatment-wise, healthcare-wise, for their cancer, for their respiratory illnesses as a result of them showing up on 9/11. They didn't have respirators, a lot of them, because they didn't. We'd never experienced anything like that.
We had no time for that.
And we didn't know. We just didn't have precedent to know how to equip themselves to respond to that. And keep in mind, the fire at Ground Zero burned for 100 days. So they were responding for months after.
Sick already.
Yeah.
Immediately. We're talking about Jon Stewart's day on Capitol Hill yesterday.
He has made a second career, out of fighting for money for first responders to 9/11 who have had health problems since then and have not had the money to pay for the treatment they need. So he was before a subcommittee,
subcommittee,
testifying in favor of more money for those first responders.
We played you the first half, and we'll put the second half up here right now because he started out by... I believe this is going after Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson.
Mr. Johnson, you made a point earlier, and it was one that we have heard over and over again in these halls, and I couldn't help but to answer to it, which was, you said, look, you know, you guys are obviously heroes, and 9/11 was a big deal, but, you know, we have a lot of stuff here to do, and, you know, we got to make sure there's money for a variety of disasters, hurricanes and tornadoes, but this wasn't a hurricane. And this wasn't a tornado. And by the way, that's your job anyway. We can't fund these programs, you can. Setting aside that no American in this country should face financial ruin because of a health issue. Certainly 9/11 first responders shouldn't have to decide whether to live or to have a place to live. And the idea that you can only give them 5 more years of the VCF because you're not quite sure what's going to happen 5 years from now, well, I can tell you, I'm pretty sure what's going to happen 5 years from now. More of these men and women are going to get sick and they are going to die. And I am awfully tired of hearing that it's a 9/11 New York issue. Al-Qaeda didn't shout death to Tribeca. They attacked America, and these men and women and their response to it is what brought our country back. It's what gave a reeling nation a solid foundation to stand back upon, to remind us of why this country is great, of why this country is worth fighting for. And you are ignoring them. And you can end it tomorrow. Why this bill isn't unanimous consent and a standalone issue is beyond my comprehension. And I have yet to hear a reasonable explanation for why. It'll get stuck in some transportation bill or some appropriations bill and get sent over to the Senate, where a certain someone from the Senate will use it as a political football to get themselves maybe another new import tax on petroleum, because that's what happened to us in 2015. And we won't allow it to happen again. Thank God for people like John Feel. Thank God for people like Ray Pfeiffer. Thank God for all of these people who will not let it happen. They responded in 5 seconds. They did their jobs with courage, grace, tenacity, humility. 18 years later, do yours. Thank you.
That was John Stewart on Capitol Hill yesterday fighting for 9/11 first responders. And I got to tell you, chills.
Yeah.
At one point, I almost welled up during that the second half of that speech.
So we're going to ask you in a second a question that a listener asked that I think is valid. But before we do that, let me tell you a couple things about the timeline here. A former New York City health commissioner pointed out during the 2012 fight to make funds from the Xadraga Act available for cancer treatment, quote, "Cancers take 20 years to develop, and we might see something different 20 years down the line. Ultimately, nearly 60 types of cancer were added to the list of illnesses eligible for coverage. Other doctors who have worked with 9/11 survivors have said they expect to see an increase in cancer in the coming years." Remember what I said about the 75 years. So initially, the funding was authorized in 2015. It was extended for another 75 years. But right now, it's only fully funded through next year. So if you're questioning how much money should we be making available? And I don't have a total for you for how much has been made available so far. It was the $4.3 billion initially that was granted. Keep in mind the number of thousands of first responders that were at ground zero.
Yeah, I mean, you said it. More people have died. More first responders, firefighters, police officers, people doing, just saving lives. More of them have died than during the actual attack.
But someone asked on our Facebook page a valid question, and we've got until 11 o'clock to toss this one around a little bit.
576-7798 is the phone number. And the comments are mostly good on our Facebook page. And I don't know if this...
This isn't a bad comment. This is a question.
This is from one of our listeners named Christy. And Christy is a regular poster on the KMBZ Facebook page, and she has more of, I would say, a right-leaning... I know because I monitor a lot of this stuff on Facebook. But regardless... her comment alone generated 35 responses.
Okay.
And that's a lot. And I'm going to read verbatim because I kind of understand but don't know if I agree with her question. Quote, "Christy, I'm just curious, how long are we supposed to support these people? I'm not heartless, but why can't they work? I mean, it's been 20 years.
Oh, you didn't tell me about the second part.
Do we still fund the veterans from Desert Storm and Shield? How about the people from D-Day? Do we still support these people? Do we have a fund from the Unabomber tragedy? What about the Olympics in 1994? Do we fund those traumatized by that shooting? She raises a good question about the longevity of aid we're supposed to give to people. I don't necessarily agree with it, because from what I read in those comments is we need to stop funding it because it's been 20 years. I don't agree with that, but it's a good question.
She's also pooling together things that are not the same.
Okay.
In my opinion, she is pooling together veterans of military conflicts.
D-Day is in there, Desert Storm.
Responders to tragic events. You know what I mean? And to me, those things are not the same, because in part of the answer to your question is yes, we have veterans benefits for veterans of veterans mm-hmm. of wars and for veterans of conflict. And yes, we do pay for those people's health care forever. You go, you know, if you go and you are injured, or if you go and serve your country, then yes, that is one of the benefits that you get, is health care and treatment for the rest of your life, thanks to the VA. Not every veteran takes advantage of it. Not every veteran has to. A lot of them will go on and get other jobs and get their own private insurance. That's a separate debate. And if you want to debate about whether that's fair, about whether we should be taking care of our veterans' health forever after that, we can absolutely have that debate. By the way, I would love to hear from those of you that have served in the military.
Mm-hmm.
You're pooling together what I'm going, and I'll throw in maybe a closer example. The people who responded to the Oklahoma City bombing, which is the one that's 5 hours away from us, where a building collapses, and I don't remember and have not heard as much about, you know, the illnesses tied to the people that responded there. But we can throw out the general question, how long do we fund the treatments and pay for the healthcare of people that are the first responders to our things that are not natural disasters? Like, you know, like John Stewart said, these are not natural disasters. These are attacks on us.
576-7798. Does Christie's question have validity in your mind?
It has validity.
Do you agree? I mean, what would be your answer to that? Do we need to keep spending and funding money for the 9/11 first responders? We $4.3 billion 20 years ago, or 15 years ago, or 10 years ago now is starting to run out. Do we need to keep doing it?
I
think we do. I think John Stewart is spot on as usual. He's brilliant. But I think John Stewart's spot on this time.
Let me point this out. These people are not going to live forever.
No.
And so we're not going to be funding it forever, because these people are, at some point, whether it's from cancer or for something else, these people are going to die eventually. The question is going to be, and we don't know the answer to this yet, will we find that children of first responders are getting illnesses?
Hmm.
We don't. I don't know enough about genetics. I don't know enough about, is it possible then that we will be questioned about whether we should be funding this in generations from now, because the grandchildren of first responders are getting cancers that we later connect to 9/11. And the only thing in my mind that I have to compare that to personally is Agent Orange, is the veterans that were exposed to Agent Orange in Vietnam, and their children and grandchildren, we know, have illnesses that we connect to their fathers or mothers or grandparents being exposed to Agent Orange. So yes, we do in this country have a long history of paying for those things. Why is this any different?
576-7798. Where do you stand on this? What'd you think of what John Stewart had to say? And to Christy's question on our Facebook page, and Christy, thank you for it. Christy wondered, how long do we keep funding health care for the first responders in New York on September 11th, 2001. 576-7798. Question from one of our listeners on Facebook asking, how long do we need to take care of 9/11 first responders? Christy basically writing that in a longer version after we heard from John Stewart, who was on Capitol Hill yesterday. What do you think? 576-7798. Dennis in Overland Park, thanks for hanging through the break, bud. You're on KMBZ.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Doing okay, Dennis. Do me a favor. Turn your radio all the way down, please.
There you go.
Thank you very much. Go ahead, sir. You're on the air.
Well, I went to the VA 2 weeks ago. I am a veteran. Served from 1970 through 73 in the Army. And I filled out all the little forms, and when the lady finally got around to speaking to me, she let me know that I don't qualify for VA care because I make too much money. which I thought was a little unusual, and she explained that there was a law that was passed in 2003 that basically says unless you're a veteran who's making zero and doesn't have any other coverage, that you don't qualify for coverage for medical coverage by the VA. And I got to say that it was a really disappointing visit there. That was the first time I had been there. All I can say is that whole system needs to be revamped.
Okay, so I have two questions for you really quickly. Is the argument for that that your private insurance is in theory going to be better than the VA?
She didn't even ask if I had any other coverage.
Okay. And then what do you think about this then? Because we're talking about how long we should extend coverage to first responders.
I think that they need to care. If it is a service-connected illness or disability, they need that care until they either recover or they die, one of the two.
Dennis, thank you for your phone call, and thank you for your service, my friend. Imagine that. You come back from war. You find a job. You have a successful career. You make too much money to qualify for the health care that you fought for, which, by the way, is garbage from everything I have heard.
Yeah.
I've heard no one say good things about the VA. Thank you again, Dennis. We appreciate it. Michael is in Kansas City. Thanks for calling, Michael.
Yeah, I have aunts and uncles that were in Desert Storm, and they have Desert Storm Syndrome. For the longest time, the military said nothing happened, there's nothing wrong with you, so on and so forth. And they finally have admitted that something was out there, and I have one of my uncle's daughter has severe learning disabilities. I don't want to say but she's very slow, and she takes her while to figure things out. But they have linked that straightly from Desert Storm, and I think like first responders take care of them, so they are gone. If their kids have issues because of this, take care of their kids. Take care of the people that take care of us. That's what should be done.
Michael, thank you very much, man. Appreciate you. Let's go to Randy in Overland Park. What's up, Randy?
I'm for the other caller that called in. You cannot qualify for VA if you make over $42,000 a year, and that could be. And I do not have private insurance, and that to me is a bummer. You know, we were told we would be covered by VA, and VA is useless to us if you make over $42,000 a year, which in this day and time you're barely getting by.
Randy, when did you serve?
68 to 70.
And are you still going to the VA, or did you go before? And you obviously don't make too little. You make too much to go there.
Yes.
So what do you think about extending coverage for first responders to things like 9/11?
I think they should do that.
Hey, Randy, thank you, man. We appreciate your service, and thank you for your phone call. Not a lot of love for the VA.
No.
576-7798. Lawrence, Kansas, and Susan, you're on KMBZ.
Hello.
Hi, Susan.
I want to say that I am a 22-year cancer survivor.
That's fantastic. Congratulations on that.
Well, and the thing is that people don't understand, when you have cancer, you don't just survive it. For 22 years, I've had to go every year and get all these tests done. My cancer is genetic. My mom's a 33-year liver cancer survivor. And I'm going to tell you, people don't get, I have a $5,000 deductible. I am a regular citizen. That $40-some thousand a year, even 50, they don't take out or consider the money you pay for taxes, the money you pay for your insurance. And then you have a $5 deductible. There's no money left for anything.
Susan, do you think that, do you agree with John Stewart and the rest that we should be providing health care and financial aid for that health care for these 9/11 survivors, these 9/11 first responders?
Yes. And I think whatever their insurance isn't covering, it should be covered by the government, because this was an act of terrorism. It was not just a regular house fire, but you know, all of our first responders put their lives in danger every day for regular Americans, and I am very proud of all of them, and I think they deserve to have the right to be able to survive and not be like me, who's in total medical debt, will never see this daylight because my insurance and stuff is just not good enough.
Right.
And it's catastrophic insurance. So, yeah, we need to start supporting them. And this thing about the veterans, they need to get rid of that stupid law. Because that's crap, too.
It is. Lauren, Susan, thank you so much for your phone call. We appreciate you getting in. If you want to hear more of John Stewart, it's over on our Facebook page. And also, we'll play some more of this later on. If you missed it, his entire 9 minutes was gripping and accurate.
Yes.
And we need to do more of it.
Yeah.
Go to our Facebook page. It's there, facebook.com/981KMBZ. We also put it up on Twitter, too.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.